Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Hello again, it is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around the racetrack. So glad you joined us. Steve Post, pit road reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
Good. Good weekend of racing in Dover, yeah. And looking forward to what we've got coming up in Kansas.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. This is a good, I love this time of year. I really enjoy this time of year. The Kansas, Darlington, you know, North Wilkesboro, Charlotte. It's a good time of year, that's for sure. Overall thoughts on the Monster Mile?
It delivered all 3 days. ARCA race was pretty good. Just about had Carson Quaffel pull off a victory there. Ryan Truex, back-to-back. Dover wins year after year in the Gibbs car. I thought a really exciting show on Saturday and good racing on Sunday.
Nice stuff. Huge crowd. Want to salute Mike Tatoya and everybody there at Dover. We're nuts and bolts. We're crew chief show, but we all understand that playing in front of a huge crowd is better than playing in front of not a crowd. And Dover, when you look at it, their last normal weekend was 2019. 2020 was COVID, and the weather has been terrible. Yeah. We've had a bunch of Monday races, so it was good to see them shine up there with a great, great crowd on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Sunny, warm. Track took a bunch of rubber.
Yeah.
Got pretty wide in the middle of the corner. I thought it was a good show. Good show.
All right, crew chief. Denny Hamlin, Chris Gabehart. Third win of the season. Picking them up and laying them down pretty good.
Executing.
You're the crew chief on that team. What are your concerns? Because it's May 1st, and you need to be doing this November 1st. What are your concerns, crew chief?
I think you got to continue to make your program, push your program to be better. But they're executing really well. If you look at it, exceptional day on pit road.
Yeah.
The cars are fast enough. Denny's making good decisions. Chris is making good decisions. I don't think they were the best car. Actually, the best car there, I think, was a 19 car.
Yeah.
But got lost some track position. Green flag cycle, had a 12-second pit stop, had to drive around the 77 of Carson Hosevar. That lost a little track position. Alex Bowman missed a shift on a restart in front of him, buckled up the nose, got some damage, still finished third. But to the point of what the 11 team, you've got to continue, and Chris will do this. I see them being a week-in, week-out contender all the way through the playoffs. They're in a great position, but you got to make sure that you don't get stagnant. You don't sit back and say, this is how we're successful, so we only do it that way. Continue to try to be better, but not lose focus of all the details that are making you successful right now. And that's the piece. If you look at it, I think they had 5 pit stops, 4 of them were sub 10 seconds.
Man.
The fifth one was a 10-3. So they're doing the things you have to be successful. And I don't see that going away. It's a great chemistry right now.
I heard, I think it was William Byron talking 2 weeks ago at Talladega and talking about stage points or stage wins, playoff points. And I don't know if it was William or somebody. Somebody said that, shoot, the way the playoff points laid out, William was almost a shoe into the round of 8 and a shoe in almost to the round of 4. Now, I think that's a stretch, but
we said that about Martin Truex last year.
We said that. Well, that's true. You can have some bad things, but right now that team also has got to be focused on that as well as performance to kick it as far down as you can down the playoffs.
Yeah, you got to stack all the extra, you know, bonus points you can get. Stage wins, race wins, they all play off. They all play into the playoffs. It's not just where you get to, but when you reset, you carry those with you. So, if it weren't for playoff points last year, Martin Truex Jr. wouldn't have made it through the second round.
They went cold.
Poor playoff run to start with. But that was what was so impressive about Blaney's run last year to the championship is they didn't have a lot of playoff points. They just had speed. And mm-hmm. but right now is the opportunity when you've got, you know, Denny Hamlin and the 24 car have both got William Byron. They've both got three wins. And we're only 11 races in. How many can they have by the time we get to 26? Yep. And how many of those bonus points can you stack? It'll be interesting to see where that plays out.
Going to be fun stuff, that is for sure. A couple other notables. Kyle Busch, Randall Burnett. Fourth place finish, second top five of the season.
And ran up there all day long.
Ran up there all day long. That's the good news. To me, it's like, okay, it's Dover. What does that translate to?
Nothing.
But it translates to nothing from a nuts and bolts standpoint, but it's got to be good from a momentum standpoint and an execution standpoint, and we can do this standpoint.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because not only is Dover's a unique racetrack and one that it's yeah. not like any place else. The elevation changes, the jump off into the corner, the ramp coming out of them, that doesn't apply any place else. But executing on pit road, calling a good race, making good moves, those all are parts that you have to be successful at Dover, and those are things you're going to need in every race coming up.
Yep, no doubt about it. Okay, Noah Gregson, Drew Blickensderfer.
Fourth one.
Yes, but that's what you do.
Yes, I thought Drew called a great race.
Yeah, fourth top 10 of the season. I'm not sure 11 races in. I'm not sure I have them with four top 10s. You know, stack on top of this, Stewart Haas Racing and yeah. where they're at, and the Ford Mustang Dark Horse where they're at. I think it's pretty impressive that they got four top 10 finishes.
I think they're doing a great job. They were teetering around that, you know, late teens, mm-hmm. and took an opportunity in the final stage to stay out through a pit cycle, got a caution, cycled them forward. And then once they got there, they hung in the top five for quite a while, ended up sixth.
Yeah, good stuff there. Daniel Hemric and Trent Owens, ninth place finish, second straight ninth place finish. It's the first time in Daniel's career he stacked top tens back to back. When we talk about the mojo, the momentum, that has got to be a good thing for everyone up at College Racing.
Same thing Trent Owens called that long run, stayed out. They were one of probably four cars that stayed long there and put themselves in position, cycled themselves track position, came out with a ninth place finish. Those are the things you have to do on days at Dover. You've got to take advantage of them. If you don't have track position, you got to figure out how to manufacture it. They flip the race around for themselves.
Yep. I love that. I really do. And that's kind of the fun, the nuances of this racing mm-hmm. that you do. And you take that 15th place car and run and turn it into an 8th place finish. I think that's really, really neat. Other winners this weekend, NASCAR Xfinity Series, Ryan Truex and Tyler Allen. Tyler Allen, the crew chief at Joe Gibbs Racing on that number 20 car. Three wins this season. Three different drivers. And what I like is John Hunter Nemechek, who's a tweener, you know, a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. Eric Almirola is a seasoned veteran, and Ryan Truex is just a kid scratching and clawing. He's got a lot of experience. He's not a kid, but
he's
a part-time guy that's scratching and clawing. Tyler Allen doing a really nice job leading that 20 team over on the Xfinity side.
Yeah, definitely doing a great job over there. As Truex, Ryan said it afterwards, they didn't have the car to beat, but they put themselves in positions, and they got the opportunities. It was kind of let the race unfold in front of him, and he executed the last restart. Started on the outside, or I think he started on the outside, mm-hmm. but not the control car.
Yep.
But, I mean, if you really want to go to that, how about the run that Carson Quaffle put together? That was, I mean, just, you look at this 88 team for Junior Motorsports, part-time deal, Andrew Overstreet, crew chief there, a guy that I've known for years and does a really good job, but Carson just about stole one in his second Xfinity race.
You and I had the same conversation off air before we got started. I know that Carson is two races into this NASCAR Xfinity Series experience, had a truck start last year. I remember that little kid over at Millbridge Speedway, and then I remember him at the Summer Shootout, and I was just like, Travis has got something here, and I don't think Caden, his younger brother, is all that bad either. I'm like, and I've talked to Travis. I did Travis's PR the year that he won the championship, 2003. Okay. Travis is great people. And so I said to Travis at some point, I said, buddy, you got your hands full here. He says, yeah. He says, I feel really, really good about where the boys are. And there's nothing that's happened. That was a conversation 5 or 6 years ago. There's nothing happened that leads me to believe that that's still not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really going to be fun to watch how these guys, both these kids come through the ranks. I think Carson's done a phenomenal job with his opportunity in that, and the, you know, the
car store. Yep. Yes. The car store is phenomenal. Yep.
Yeah. They've done a great job over there driving for Junior. But then to jump into this and what, worst finished, was it sixth at Richmond?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, but two top tens. And just about won the race here.
Yeah, you can understand Martinsville because he's ran there before, but nobody understands Dover.
Yeah.
You know, so good stuff, really good stuff all weekend long. One of our buddies has struggled the last couple, Booty Barker. It's been a rough couple of weeks. But we're going to turn it around here today. We're going to put the good mojo on him because Booty's our guest. Always look forward. Always love chatting with Booty.
Pretty deep. Pretty deep. Booty thinks about what he says and says really cool stuff. So
yes, he does.
It'd be cool to dig a little deeper and see what we've got coming up.
So that's what we have coming up. Stay with us. When we return, Booty Barker joins us here on the program.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, and let's do it. Let's go over to Airspeed. That's the new race shop for 2311. Joining us is Booty Barker. Hello, Booty. How are you?
Fair to middling, like I said. Fair to middling.
Well, yeah, no doubt. Moving into a new shop, what is that like, and how are the digs over there?
Beautiful. Beautiful. It'll be nice. I think we have a grand opening, Charlotte week. So, it'll be something to see, for all the fans. And it's really just not short of anything. It's very nice.
Yeah. It, the little bit we can see behind you, I can't wait to see the whole shop. It looks pretty cool. Just the background of view. That's an awesome view we've got there. Let's get into racing a little bit. Month of March was a struggle for you guys. You know, disappointing, I'd say, the finishes you had. You know, Vegas, Phoenix, Bristol, disappointing. The month of April seemed like it was on the right trend. Then you go to Dover and you get wrecked. How do you make a turnaround when you had a few bad races? And then how do you take this kind of Dover situation and turn it into Kansas next week?
Yeah, it's so frustrating. We knew we had to do it, Dover, and we were on the way to doing it. And what I mean by that is just a really solid top 10.
Mm-hmm.
It helps your metrics for the next week. It just gets everything going back on the right flow. So what do you do? Really what you do, and I have yet to talk to Bob about it really, is for us, I feel we will see, right, if I'm right, but we don't need to do anything different. Our pace and really our execution has been very good for the last 5-6 races. You know, Talladega getting wrecked is one thing. Mm-hmm. Dover getting wrecked is another. When you look back at it, I don't really know if we made any quote unquote mistakes. Just certain, some things are racist. So I just say going into Kansas, don't press, just do what we do.
Well, and because your performance has been good. I even go back, you know, what a roller coaster ride as far as results go. You know, you stack some good runs together there, a couple of bad ones. You had a couple of bad ones before that. Is how do you work bigger picture to kind of stabilize and try to move forward and minimize those? I don't know how you can minimize. You can't minimize Talladega, obviously. But how do you work forward, or or anything you could do to minimize some of those 30 plus day finishes?
It's kind of simple. What you do is you qualify top five, you run top five, you stay that way.
Yep.
But the issue, what I'm saying is when you have a bad week for whatever reason, it affects your metrics and how you, what order you qualify, when you practice. So, you know, and that may affect your pit stall, which it's just these days things. Once you build momentum, you can tend to keep momentum, and getting it back is somewhat difficult. So, you know, honestly, you asked a good question. How do you not? You run good. I hate to say it. You just hammer people. You just show up every week. You just show up every week strong, and just one thing begets the other, and you only get stronger. And there's really no magic to it. It's just like Kansas this week, we will not have a favorable metric. Sooner or later, we got to just make it happen. We got to transfer to the final round regardless, then get a good, you know, just start stacking back. We got to just do it.
Yeah, and as Booty talks about metrics, just for you guys at home to understand, where you end up in the qualifying order, where you end up going is based off of your points position, your finishing position the week before, your fastest lap the week before. They're all put into a formula and kind of ranks you back. So if you have an off week, yeah, and you didn't run a fast lap and you ended up wrecked out, that decreases your metrics and you end up going earlier in qualifying, which typically is not the benefit because the racetrack still got rubber in it from practice. And it's like a snowball in ways is what Booty's talking about there. But you know, you've got to look forward to the fact you're going to Kansas. And when I look at Kansas, I think of 2311 and just your strength there. You guys have had really good runs there. Without divulging secrets, what makes Kansas so good for 2311?
I don't know. I don't know. We don't do anything particularly different.
It's just a good racetrack for you.
I guess it's just a good racetrack for us. I mean, I could give all kind of, without getting to your point, without us taking 2 hours and really getting into everything we do and why, and maybe why it works and all this stuff, which I can't do anyway, but it's not something that we do in particularly different as far as approach or anything else. But let's just say this, the 45 was excellent at Texas. We were pretty good. 45 was really good at Vegas, but we had a problem, didn't get to show it. So these style of tracks, we've had strength coming to it, you know.
Okay. And okay, then as we look at it, let me just take it from there. But does Kansas Darlington back-to-back being places that the wall comes into play? I mean, Darlington, you have to run up against the wall in 1 and 2. Kansas, I think, you'll make speed up there, although I think the reason why you guys have been good is because you haven't had to run the wall.
Yeah.
Does the back-to-back of this, does that play into things? Is it just race after race?
Race after race, but we could finish top five in both, being our organization, both cars. So we need, in a way, I say don't press. Well, in other words, it could be done. If we do what we're capable of, we could finish top five in both of those races, and that would flip the script as we're talking about. I mean, we need to do it, but I'm not going to change anything about our process. It just needs to happen.
Booty, that racetrack out in Kansas, that thing has always been a favorite for so many people. How has it evolved? How has it changed? And do you expect change again with cold winters, hot summers? How do you expect it to change when we go into this weekend?
Well, obviously, you know, people complain about everything.
It's human nature.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It's human nature. But like the intermediate racing, I think I heard Kyle Larson say, maybe he said this, maybe they're over accentuating it, that, you know, we were aero blocking now, and that's, we need to, well, we always have done that.
We just used to call it taking people's lane away.
Yeah. And I think, in other words, the intermediate racing is as good as I've ever remembered it. Mm-hmm. Kansas lends itself to probably being our best track now as far as that type of thing, because you can make speed in four lanes. Mm. So you have a recourse to go somewhere. you're not so easily arrow blocked. So that lends itself to definitely 4 and 5 wide racing. And what also Kansas has going forward at this point is it's not a recent repave, so we just don't run the bottom, say. If the banking is linear, I don't even know what Kansas is anymore, but 23, 25,
I think it's 17 to 20 progressive.
Okay, so let's say if it was a strict 20, let's say it was a linear 20, then if it repaved it, you would just run the bottom because it's shorter. But what's happened is because, interesting you said that, I wasn't really even aware, because it's progressive, what they're trying to do is make it to where it's harder to just run the bottom. But the problem is when one wears, then you tend to stay at the top. But somehow Kansas has been able to have the ability to, like I said, make speed in various lanes because of the conditions. And it lends itself to, I think, one of our best races.
I concur. I think this is one of the best racetracks. I'm glad it's on my MRN schedule and get to go out to it. It is. It's a unique racetrack. And I think, you know, similarly, Homestead has a similar progressiveness to it. Another place that I feel like we get to race different lanes around the place. I want to kind of dig back and kind of go broader here because I want a crew chief's input on this. Green flag cycles. We saw a couple opportunities at Dover. You know, I think Ryan Sparks and the 7 stayed out in stage 2, and then we saw some guys flip the thing. What all goes into, I'm going to pit short, I'm going to go long, the crew chief thought mindset, and if you're going to run one long, what kind of plays into those decisions?
Well, let's just take a track like Dover. Let's say the run's 100 laps long because there are people out there. And let's say you are not going to run. We all look at it and say, okay, running a 100 lap straight is slower than stopping at some point in the run. So therefore, we're going to stop. And let's say, obviously, if you split the run in two, it'd be at 50 laps. So logic would say we're going to split our tire run in half. 50 laps on the first set of tires, 50 laps on the second set of tires. But what happens at a lot of tracks, Dover's a bit unusual. Why you saw some people going long at Dover was because the degradation, or let's say the fall off of the tire, was not enormous. So the 7, because he was in a pickle, he's trying to create something, he's trying to get back on the lead lap, he goes long. And he's not just getting destroyed on lap time to do it. However, the rest of us aren't paying any mind to that. Okay. So let's say I'm out there and I'm approaching that lap 50, and let's just throw any car you want to out there in front of us. Let's say the 11, because it's Denny. Denny's in front of the 23. We're approaching that lap 50, which would be optimum as far as tire usage. However, we just talked about the aerodynamics of the cars. If we pit before him, say on lap 48, and he's still out there, then we pit and get back on the track. We utilize our new tires to run a half second quicker for a couple of laps, and we leap him. We get in front of him when he pits later. Okay, he has slightly newer tires, but because we just talked about it, of these other tracks, the aerodynamics of the race car, us being in front of him and him being in our wake, it, for him, is a bigger detriment than his newer tires. He cannot get back by us. Okay. Everybody's aware of that now. So everybody keeps pitting earlier and earlier and earlier. So let's exaggerate here, man. Let's say we got that 100-lap run and somebody says, I'm going to pit on lap 35.
Yep.
35, and I'm going to run 65 laps on the backside. Well, then what happens is someone, let's say the 11, the very same scenario, let's say the 23 comes on 35. Well, then what he will do is he will run to optimum. The tire advantage he has overcomes the aero advantage at that point, and he can repass us. So it's a blend there. Yeah. You want to undercut people, but it's going to end up happening at places where it gets out of hand. And you may see some of that at Kansas. And to your point, when do you do one or the other? to our point, if we have the same thing at Kansas and we're running behind someone and they pit ultra early, then we may choose to go to optimum. We may choose we're not going to jump them on the undercut because they just pit. So we'll take the other theory, go longer, get better tires, and maybe we can pass them at the end of that cycle.
Man, I'll tell you what, that is good stuff, Booty. That you explained that so even a radio guy could understand it. So, I might use that on Sunday afternoon at Kansas. That's how good that is. So, I do appreciate that. You really explained that well. I just looked at the clock. I absolutely hate that I looked at the clock, Booty. Our time has ran out here on this, but, man, I always appreciate your time, whether it's here in the studio, on the show, or at the racetrack. We wish you well. Can't wait to see what you have this week in Kansas and Darlington and on throughout, and we appreciate you joining us here this time on Crew Call.
I always enjoy talking to y'all. Hopefully we get it done. We got a shot. We can make it happen.
Oh, I know you can. I know you can. Good luck this weekend.
Yes, you can. Booty Barker joining us here on Crew Call. Stay with us, more in just a moment.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post wrapping it up. Wow. There are times where it's like we get to 15 minutes and it's like, oh, okay, we're good. There are other times when we get to 15 minutes and it's like, man, could I buy another 5 or 10? Booty was on it today. That was great insight.
Yeah. We just try to be
respect the time.
Respectful of their time. And you know what their weeks are like. So, yeah, great stuff. I asked a question. I thought he gave a home run of an answer. Mm. And so many more pieces I could have gone with Booty. He's such a great guest. But looking for them, it'd be interesting to see what happens. This is coming to a racetrack. Kansas is a place that 2311, ever since Kurt Busch was there.
Yeah.
I mean, and I got
you
to
called
do that
it. You
race.
Called it on MRN a couple of years ago in practice.
I called it. I said the 45, 45 is the team to beat, and they were. But they've had a hold of that. It's interesting. And I think I look for Booty and Bubba to be one of the contenders this weekend.
It's fascinating listening to him talk about the metrics. I had the same conversation with Rodney Childers.
Yep.
You know, when you get ahead of the metrics, it's easy to stay there. When you get behind them, man, you got to scratch and claw for everything you get.
It is. And a major part of that's your points position, which hurts you. But then once you're back there, you can't run the fast lap, and that's another portion of it.
Right. And then it's your pit box selection, because
off those metrics is how you qualify. And then if you qualify poorly, that's a poor pit stall. And even if you put a race together and you end up with a top 10 finish, that only affects part of the metric.
A little bit of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it is, once you're down there, it's tough slugging to get yourself back. And there's a bunch of guys in that playoff cutoff line it's tight.
As we roll along and we get closer and closer to the playoffs, if this stays where it's at now, it's gonna be great. And the challenge is that it appears to me that there's a couple of teams that are really content at winning a lot of these races. I don't know. It's gonna be fascinating. Yeah. Really, truly is. And we head off to Kansas. I don't know. This just is always. It's they repaved it, and we had a year or two of good. And then that thing went back to great almost like a flip of a switch. It was incredible.
When they repaved it, as Booty talked about, the bottom played. And then the top was only part of the time. And then after a year or two. Both of them and the top after a while. Now it's more around the top, but everybody can run the top. So the good cars figure out how not to run
the top.
And they'll still be up there. but they just won't be.
You don't have to be there.
They won't be that last car width to the wall, so they can find clean air, because you got to be able to run where cars aren't in order to pass them. So. Yeah. It'll be fun to watch what this weekend brings.
Fun stuff, that is for sure. We're going to be busy out there with Motor Racing Network. Saturday, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, the Arca Menards Series, the Tide 150. 5 o'clock, we do practice and qualifying for the NASCAR Cup Series. And then Saturday night, love this one, the Heart of America 200 for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Sunday, it is the Advent Health 400 for the NASCAR Cup Series at Kansas Speedway. 2 p.m. Eastern Time, the MRN airtime. So it is going to be great. Can't wait. And good to have you along with us this weekend. It's going to be fun to talk a little tires, talk a little strategy. Maybe we'll get into a green flag sequence that we can put into play some of the Booty Barker knowledge that we had along the way as well.
Looking forward to what we can bring forward.
It is great. That is for sure. He's Todd Gordon. I'm Steve Post. Thank you for joining us this time here on MRN's Crew Call.